Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Be a man and cut your grass any way you need to.
And how about some sass from one conference commissioner on the expansion of college football?
Some sassy comments coming up on the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra, and it's on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
And we're brought to you by Extend Technologies, and we're live.
XTEND. Here we go.
AV.com. Do you want to start with the lawn thing first or the Greg Sankey thing first? We're talking. Close that outer
lawns
door there, Joey. I don't want anybody else to hear.
We got it. We're good. Joey knows what he's doing. He's the door guy.
Do we want to start with that? Which one do we start with? You want to start with the Sankey or you want to start with the lawn?
Let's go with the lawn.
All right. So, we have a coworker that I don't know how to keep it down or break it to him. Like,
well, they are in the next studio.
Can you ask your neighbor to get a walking mower and just ask to use theirs? Or is it a situation? What? I just want to know what is stopping them from going to the next door neighbor and asking to borrow their mower and to get their mower. I understand it's a lot of grass. I understand it might be a little bit. I don't know.
Well, they are fairly new, I think, and maybe they haven't established a...
We live in Ohio.
Okay, I will say the lawnmower is a little bit different from loaning out any number of tools.
I'm going too fast.
And I had a neighbor come by last year and ask for the fertilizer spreader.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and he has one. It's just for whatever reason he needed mine. And that's fine, because what kind of damage are you going to do to the fertilizer spreader?
True.
Big deal.
Make it more fertilizer.
You beat the crap out of those anyway, or they look like crap. A mower is different because if somebody, even the easiest push mower, right, is the easiest. We're not even talking about tractors. We're talking about a push mower.
Yeah.
If somebody doesn't know what they're doing, they can go over the wrong stuff if they're lazy.
Well, they can hurt themselves.
And they can hurt themselves.
And mess up the
blades. So I don't know that you just loan out.
Fair.
The push mower.
Okay, that's a great point. So let's take a step back. We have a coworker who her and her husband just moved into a home. And they got an electric mower. The problem is we had so much rain, they didn't mow their grass. And now I saw the pictures. I mean, it is thick grass. And their mower, they make like one or two stripes and it kills the battery.
And let's be honest, they bought the cheapest model you can buy.
So they bought the cheap one.
Probably thinking we have a small lot.
Yes.
So we can just get away with this.
I'm sure it would be fine if you mow
you
probably twice a week to make sure that the grass is low and you're not putting a lot on it. Except now that the grass is thick. And my whole thought is, all right, and you're right about this. If they don't know what type of mower they can get, they definitely don't know how to mow the electric mower they can get, they definitely don't know how to mow the grass. Like, I have an electric mower for my devil strip.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
right.
That's what I have.
Just for that.
Yes. And around the edges of where some of the flower beds are.
They're good little.
Yes. Yes.
You don't have to mix things.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to bring gas.
Because I can't, if I go with my riding mower over it, I'm gonna scalp the grass.
You're not doing that.
Or skin it, whatever, and then I'm going to have a problem there.
Even those tires going over.
Yeah,
it, you just don't want
I just don't want to do
tires.
It. And I've done it before. I've been like, you know what, bleep this.
Pure laziness.
End of the seat. Yeah, and I'm just like, oh, I'm going over the devil strip with this, and like, oh, hell of it. It's the end of the year anyway. I got to clean out the blades. But you like Lima, people don't realize Lima has an extensive background in manual labor, and when it comes to lawn care, Lima has mowed acres and acres and acres and acres of grass. And I think at least, I'm sure Joey has too, at least the four guys here have mowed a lot of grass. I imagine Mitch has too. I've seen his parents' house on Street View.
Luscious property.
Yeah, they have a lot of grass. I imagine Mitch has.
We've been on the state auditor site.
Yeah, we're not.
I know what taxes they've paid the last 20
We're not unfamiliar
and
with
quite
this
frankly,
type of thing.
Let's pay your fair share. Let's go.
Fair enough. True.
Come on, Spinels.
We've had extensive experience with this, and I just don't realize that some people don't. I don't understand how you could be a grown man from the state of Ohio and not have any experience with that.
Right, that's what I'm so curious about.
I don't know the guy, and I don't want to be nasty to him or anything.
I mean,
like
just
that.
my family situation. I was thrust into doing every kind of cutting of the grass
yes.
I could at a young age, but I also thought every every boy was being groomed to be able to do that at some point.
At what point, I guess this becomes a bigger issue than what we're just talking about here, because they're like, well, we were waiting on like a high school kid to walk by. I go, high school kids don't just walk by your house with mowers.
Anymore. Magically pluck them out of the air.
It really doesn't happen.
Like they're an Uber driver. Hey, we got one.
You will see plenty of people. If you really want to stop somebody, if somebody else has a lawn service, you can walk up to them and offer them $40 to go do a one-time cut for you.
Is that even enough?
That was my suggestion.
Is that even enough?
It's not that big of a yard. I bet they could. Because you're not, hey, just like a snowplow, I'm not turning my blades on it for free. That ain't happening.
Depending on who owns the business. Now, if you're getting one of these that they've got 30 trucks and, you know.
Well, you're getting them on there for a side hustle.
So you're not getting that. But if you get the side hustle guy and it's like Pete's Lawn Care, right, and it's just Pete by himself, you go, hey, let me get you for $40 here. And then he goes, I'm going to build a new customer. And then you just
don't. Well, I think any place in a residential neighborhood, like somebody would turn you down for something like that.
Well, I mean, so I'll just say my buddy owns a company called Yardworks. They do a ton of
with
mowing.
A KS or an X at the end.
KS.
Okay.
And they do a ton of like commercial property, but they do, especially because they all live in town, they do like friends and family in town because they can just zip through. They've got that 42-inch deck or whatever, you know, like they can get it done quick. Now, I don't know that if some random person walked over and goes, hey, I'll give you $20. Can you do this real quick? They would do that because they're very on Surf a time money. Clock.
They got scheduled. Yeah.
They're all, I mean, there's 30 employees, 40 employees in this company. I don't think
they're always behind.
The low man can make that call. But if it is just Dave and Son, and it really is Dave and Son, they can go.
It was funny. I was driving back home from Kirtland a couple weeks ago after a baseball game. And I had I looked over and there was a big truck with a trailer with all the mowing stuff behind it. And I go, Axel, you want to know hard work? Right there. I go, those guys, it is sun up to sundown during the summertime. I go, they are working from 6 a.m. to 9 o'clock at night because that's when they make all their – if they don't have a plow business, that's when they're making all their money. My buddy – I had one buddy, Jordan, his dad was like that. He did not plow, and it was all summer. He worked – 8-9 months a year, and it was, you better make as much as you can because you're going to go 3 months without making any money. And it was weird some of those years, but like, I think the mowing guys now, like, yeah, you can't cut now, but you know you have to get, like, okay, the month of May, usually you might have 4 cuts. Now it's like 6 cuts because the grass is growing so crazy. But you got to be careful because you can leave those brown ruts in there and it becomes bad. But my other issue, this is deeper, is, you know, I've had Axel out there. And if, like, when I do the stuff with the snowblower, I still have not put my snowblower away for the summer because I still need a battery for my mower. I got to move my mower to make room for the snowblower to put away the snowblower. And I haven't winterized it yet. And I don't think that that's going to be a big issue or anything like that, but I'd like to go start it. But there's a lot of times where I've started it and shown them, like, all right, here's your choke, this, that, and the other. I imagine there's still going to be a need for that. You can't just pay for everything.
Right, right.
So it's like, I can't just have him like, all right, if you're that busy in the summertime, I can understand. Maybe you need somebody to come and mow your grass. It does take 40 minutes. Clearing out your driveway takes 15 minutes. It's 15 minutes. Unless you live at Mr. Burns' house.
I am miffed because you buy a house, the first thing anyone's going to ask you about is the lawn situation. That's one of the very first things other than the, you know, renovations or whatever you need to do just to make it suitable to live in, right, is how you going to do the yard. And I know that it's, you know, how many months out of the year are we truly cutting grass? You know, a lot of times April, it's not even growing that well. So
it's more of a shower.
You don't need to worry about it to that extent. So I'm just curious how the two of them bought the house. They're watching the grass grow. It's continuing to grow. How are we going to get a
hold of that situation?
It's not like that ballooned overnight.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. I've told you this before. I have an issue with the landscaping. I bought the house with some people. They never had kids. And there is a lot of landscaping. And the outside looked really nice. Now, I will tell you this. My backyard, we don't spend a lot of time in the backyard. It's like a Christmas tree, my house. The front is pretty decent. It's not the best. Front is pretty decent.
We can always do more.
Could always do more. The back, it's seen better days. Not the worst, but not the best, because I'm like, I got to pull these bushes out. All right, when am I going to pull these bushes out? I don't like doing things in the summertime to pull those type of things out. I don't like the critters, the other possibilities that you can find in bushes. But in the fall and the winter, I'll be out in the woods all the time, especially in December for one reason in particular. So I kind of have to wait, but there's like, I got to pull all these bushes. And I'm like, man, there is so much effing landscaping here.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, that's one thing I just did not foresee when I bought the house. I should have seen it, and my wife just wanted it so bad. I'm like, fine, to hell with it. And it's like, man, there's so much. The whole house is wrapped in landscaping. And I got a big thing in the backyard where that's like a tree island. That's all landscaped. It's like, Jesus, there's a lot of things I got to do here, and I just don't have a lot of time to do it. So it's made it a bit of a ball buster in so many ways. The one thing I do not have a problem with paying somebody to do is mulch. I hate mulch. I hate it. I hate it. If it's in bags, I'm okay with it. I hate having to go get it. I hate having to do the yard calculation. I hate it sitting in my driveway.
Every house in my neighborhood has gotten a shipment in the last month.
It's just the worst. I'd rather just go get a bunch of bags and deal with it that way instead of having to do it. I know if people cringe when they hear that. I'm sorry. I hate doing mulch. I hate it. And I'm more than happy to pay some kid to put my mulch down. I do not care. If I can avoid it by any means necessary, I will. I hate doing mulch. I don't know what it is. Once it's down on the ground, I'm fine with it, but actually going to get it and that whole thing, like, I've had to do that many, 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 many times, and it sucks every time, and I hate it every time. But I don't know what they're going to do other than, you know, I guess you just wait for a company to be by and walk up to them like, hey, I'll give you $40. Can you do this?
It seems like they're doing the least amount of work ever, because you could also walk the streets and hear the mowers.
Yeah.
You can hear them all day long on her hours. I know they can do that. So I just think this is...
Because you're right. Like,
it's pure laziness.
You are right. I don't know if I'd just let anybody who I just met borrow the mower. Because no. If they don't know what they're doing, they're going to run over some things that are going to...
That's an expensive fix.
Your blades.
Yeah.
That grass is thick enough where you're going to cut the power to the mower a couple times. So you kind of have to take her easy. And that's why it's like, hey, man, if you see like a landscape company driving around with like a couple of guys, and maybe they might have smoked a little bit of weed before they started that job or something like that. No big deal.
Do they even know the deck settings? Do they even understand?
Oh, I wonder if that's a thing too right now, because it's a tall grass.
And I changed
my
deck settings.
I don't think it really matters how tall it is.
Kind of want to bring her in here to interview.
They got to weed whack that. You got to get that top cut on.
That's true. Now, have you ever gone low on purpose? Like, the hell with it.
Yeah. I just did 2 weeks ago.
We have a guy.
Because I did not like the amount of dandelions, so I got rid of the whole thing, and now it looks great.
We have a guy who lives with his mother up and around the corner, and you could tell his mom was complaining about him. He's a grown man, complaining about him mowing that grass. Because we went by one day, we're walking by like, Jesus, this grass is getting a little bit big. And I drove by one day, and he was like taking his mower out to the mill. I go, oh, he's going to mow the grass. This guy did a circle. He started in a circle, wound it out, and it was on. I mean, this thing was skin low. And there's just these giant clumps. Like, he must have just said, to hell with it. I'm going to mow this as few times as possible. And it looked ridiculous. It looked ridiculous, Tone. These big, long clumps. Like, you could have picked it up and used it as hay. Like, that's how many. That's how long and wide these clumps were. It was so bad. So bad.
You know what I've noticed?
Geez, I wish I wouldn't even have bothered.
The older I've gotten, you know, they always say you're going to become your parents, or you're just going to turn into everything you never wanted to, and it just is a matter of when you're going through it in life that you care about something.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of judgment I have now on people's lawns because of what I did to overhaul my lawn, and now I'm assuming that everybody is the same as me, and so I'm like, aren't they disgusted by their lawn right now? Aren't they disgusted? You know, someone could call the city if they wanted to. And it actually happened. Somebody did call. It wasn't me. Somebody did call our neighbors who have since moved because the city showed up and they just had not cut their grass. And it was like middle of June.
Yeah.
And you know how long that gets and the blight that that occurs. And, you know, we're in a very posh waterfront community, Kenny. You can't just have your grass.
Yeah, you got to mow it.
Looking like that. But I can't believe you would have told me 20 years ago that future me would sit there in disgust at people's yards.
Because you take the time and you don't understand why others wouldn't.
But I didn't understand that back then. I didn't understand that as you get older, this is something you care about.
See, I figured you would always feel that way, especially you who's cut a lot of grass.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy how I'm just becoming the people that I hated. The older guy that I'm like, why would they care about that?
But I think
let them have their fun. Let them have their identity.
I think the older guys would probably look at you and say, no, you finally grew up and had things that you had to be accountable for. As I think that's what they would say. I'm sure it's happened with all of us to some level.
And one other minor thing.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes.
Before we move on, I do feel like the smaller lot you have, the more almost pressure and responsibility to take care of it. Because there's no excuse.
Yeah.
Small parcels of land like I have, right? The old postage stamp front yard.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't maintain that, what kind of a man are you? Bigger lots, like I had when I grew up in Chesterland, you couldn't possibly do all the upkeep.
Oh, some of it was just it's cut and that's it.
Because it would take, I remember it back in the day to cut the front, back, weed whack. There was no edging back then. It was kind of wild. Have to get up and put your life at risk and your limbs at risk doing the embankment, leading up to the road.
Yeah.
Route 306 with semis coming. I'd be there as a 13-year-old kid with semis coming down the street at 60 miles an hour. And the mower is now above my head as I'm cutting the slopes into the ditch. And it was kind of dangerous. Like, especially if it got a little too wet, you probably shouldn't be cutting.
Yeah.
Because you'd slip sometimes. And you would hear about these accidents, especially with riding mowers. Because older people on riding mowers are not going to get off. They're going to soldier on through. And if it's not dry out and there's a little bit more risk than you believe... My parents had a friend who had their leg chopped off. It fell over, chopped their leg off.
I know what you're thinking, Owen. Go ahead and say it, because I already know what you're thinking.
No, I'm just surprised it happened there and not in an office during a Christmas party.
But it's 100% true story.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely, like, from below the knee, but chopped the leg off. Well, they had to remove it eventually.
I got to tell you, I love mowing. There's something about it, like on a riding mower. When I worked Perry's summer crew those 3 summers, which I cashed out my retirement finally, guys. Almost $300.
What was the payday? Oh.
Almost $300.
Wow.
My wife was like, I wasn't meaning to tell you. We had something that was put in for like $300. She thought she wanted to be a substitute teacher years ago. And she thought it was something with the state there. I go, no, it was my retirement I cashed in finally. Because they set the thing. I go, okay, fine, I'll finally do it. But anyway... When they found, so all the kids, I didn't realize this, they hated mowing. And once they found out I liked mowing, that's all I did the whole summer. Like that first summer, we would kind of ass off and goof around. And I rubbed the one guy who was in charge of maintenance the wrong way. And I ended up at school and I hated it. I was at Whipple Elementary, which has now been torn down. And I had to clean the desks and all this stuff. And I mean, I ain't gonna lie to you. I was the head custodian's little bitch boy, is what I was. And I had to do a lot, and I hated it. And I didn't realize it was punitive. I thought all of us had to do it. And then he's like, no, all right, you're back at Whipple next week. I'm like, what? And like, I got towards the end of that week, and my buddy Scott Campbell was like, dude, he's mad at you. You have to go and apologize.
Oh, my God.
And once you do it, you'll get out of it. And I swear to God, I was like, Bruce, like, apparently I've rubbed you the wrong way. I apologize. And, he's like, okay. He goes, tomorrow you'll be back with us. Okay, great. And then they just, all the kids who were on, because it's all college kids who come back to high school and mow during the summer, do stuff during the summer. You paint, you do all the stuff, you do the maintenance, you got to wash the desks of all the kids. You got to clean up all the stuff. Nobody wants to mow for whatever reason, because you're there alone. And I had zero problem. And once they found out, it was perfect. I was inside from sun up to sundown. They wouldn't let you. I remember they would not let me tow the mower to different places. So at like 6:30 in the morning, I'd get into the cab of a dump truck that had the big John Deere. We had an enclosed John Deere with a huge ass deck on it. And I would go, and they would drop me off at like Richville Elementary, which was still a property that we maintain. All right, you got to get this done by, you know, so-and-so time. Mow it. And we would go around to the different elementary schools because we had a lot of elementary schools then. And now it's all been consolidated into two elementary schools. One's a big one back at Perry. And then they had this huge, basically all of 13th Street is Perry land. And I had to mow all that. And I mean, it was all week. All week, I'm just in a great big John Deere, and I could not have been happier being in that big ass John Deere enclosed, listening to music because that was still the CD player MP3 mm-hmm. days. That was still the yeah. MP3 stuff. And I got a radio. I started listening to like Rome, stuff like that. I was listening to Jim Rome, just riding around mowing all day long. I could not love it more.
I'm with
telling you right
man.
Now, if I could get a job just doing that.
Yep.
If I ever got to retire,
you're working
that's
at the golf
where I'm
course
at.
When you retire.
Oh yeah,
you're just gonna sit out there.
Yep. I will mow. Oh God, I would love to be there. I'm already an early riser anyway. You're telling me I get to wake up at 4 a.m. and get there and mow? Forget it. I'm in. Count me in. Greg Sankey shooting his mouth off from the SEC. Do we have this audio?
Sure.
Okay, I want to hear this. My wife just texted me to make sure I take my boots off before I walk in because she just mopped the floor. Don't put it out with your boots, Cam.
Don't tell me what to do.
Devil woman. All right, this is Greg Sankey. This is at a press. This isn't their preseason media.
No,
it's too early.
No.
All right, where's this at? Is this at a meeting?
It seems like they're having weekly yeah. college
no
football
clue.
Playoff meetings.
Miramar, Florida, right?
So they can stay at five-star resorts.
Miramar Beach. Yeah,
that's all this
different.
Is. This is a way to justify going to the Four Seasons.
Yeah.
All right, this is Greg Sankey. He's drawn a line in the sand that I think that many teams have crossed, but
Miramar
here's Greg
Beach.
Sankey.
How do you balance what is best for the SEC with what is best for maybe if we'd be giving up a little bit for the SEC would be better for the whole?
Look at the track record. We didn't need 12. Did we say that 4, we would have had half the 4 last year. I don't need lectures from others about good of the game. I don't lecture others about good of the game. And coordinating press releases about good of the game. Again, okay, you can issue your press statement, but I'm actually looking for ideas to move us forward. If you want to go inside what it's like to sit in this role? And when I go back to the college football playoff, I'm open to ideas. There's just not a lot of incoming. My phone's not ringing off the hook. But hey, here's another way to look at it.
That's Greg Sankey, SEC commissioner. He's talking tough. I like hearing what he has to say. What did you think of what Greg Sankey had to say there?
Obviously, Greg Sankey is not about trying to worry about equity when it comes to the college football playoff. And like penciling in, or I should say sharpieing in all these other conferences when it's pretty clear that 80% of the good teams are going to come from the Big Ten and the SEC. And that might be, that number might be understating it. So I think that's a big part of what his frustration is. Because every time we talk about 16 teams and how they're going to comprise, or I should say compose the playoff field, like people are saying, why does the SEC and the Big Ten need all these teams? Why do they need all these
slots? Because they probably have the best teams.
So they do. The argument that I'm seeing people make is that you're not doing the one thing college football has going for it. The regionalization of college football keeps, you know, these other areas engaged and hopeful. And if you make this just the SEC and the Big Ten, you're cutting out a lot of the country. Even though you've had expansion
until,
in those conferences.
Exactly, until those conferences start to reach into part of...
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That country. And I don't understand what they're taking away. First off, the ACC is an SEC country. It is like it's like this bastard son of the SEC, it seems. And I love the history of it, don't get me wrong, but the ACC is right there. The Big 12 would be in the Big Ten if the Big Ten wanted it.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
It's that simple. And by the way, they've done a great job in making themselves the premier basketball conference, I think, in so many ways. But I don't think that that is something that they really, if they could make their way in football, they'd make their way in football. Well, now, who's left that the Big Ten or the SEC really, really, really wants? And that's coming from me, a person who really likes one of the teams in the Big 12. There really isn't anybody now that Texas and Oklahoma have both gone to the SEC. So Greg Sankey, as much as it may bother a lot of people, he's right. He's just telling you the truth of what this matter is. See, when I first heard of what Greg Sankey said, I thought there was almost a shots fired at the Big Ten. Because I think now, and I know that they're going to do a lot of what they can to make this as quote-unquote equitable as possible, which really they're going to do what they can to get in a salary cap in some way, somehow. The Big Ten is really well positioned to have a takeover in so many ways of the SEC. I know Georgia has no fooling around money. Alabama has no fooling around money. Boy, Ohio State has a lot of money. Has a lot of money. And I think that they have to be enemy number one, foreign target number one of anybody in the SEC. Like we are, I'm sorry, we are their red menace in the state of Ohio. Excuse me, you're the Ohio State fan. You guys are their red menace down there in the SEC. And it's not just you. Penn State, they're knocking at the door.
Oregon.
They're pounding at the door.
Oregon. So we could have another.
My God, yes.
We could have another champion from the Big Ten this year.
Yes. I think it's only a matter of time before a couple of these other ones catch up. I want to know what USC is about here over these next couple of years. Are you really all the way in? Because it didn't seem like they were ready for the Big Ten expansion, to be going into the Big Ten and understanding what the Big Ten's about. Because there's a lot of teams that pulled them into a telephone booth and fought it out with them, and they did not know how to deal with that. I thought I thought UCLA equated themselves well. They got some dudes that are willing to fight, and they finished up the season. I mean, to finish 5-7 when I thought they might not even win a game this last year. And remember, they had that coach change later on because they went from Chip Kelly to Deshaun Foster. Deshaun Foster with no previous head coaching experience. Yeah. I thought that was a big move. But what I'm pointing out is that I really think the SEC, it's going to be fun to see how this goes, because Texas, they got no fooling around money. That's true. And Texas, I think, is a real big favorite to win the national championship this year. And they are part of the SEC. So they would say, well, we've had our expansion of their own. You're right about that. But, man, it used to be the SEC. For me, it was the SEC and everybody else. I don't think it's that way. I think it's the SEC, the Big Ten now. But I think even five years ago, that was unthinkable.
It's changed overnight. There's no doubt. And obviously, like, Michigan started taking this a lot more seriously than they had. Penn State, where are they ranked going into next year?
I think they're top five.
Oh, I thought they were like number two. Were they not? Either way.
God, I have to look at the preseason rankings. I haven't seen them in so long.
And obviously Oregon, I mean, people thought until the playoff that they could win the national championship last year.
Yep.
So this has changed dramatically. And I think the genesis of a lot of this right now, the fighting that you're hearing about from the ACC and the Big 12, is the fact that they feel like they don't have as much access into this tournament.
Yeah.
And that means they don't get as much money. Remember, you're getting paid via the slots that you have in the playoff. So they're going to get cut out of a lot of money, which only serves to strengthen the SEC and the Big Ten even more. So now it's going to be a cyclical, self-fulfilling prophecy. But in the end, we've been basically telling you for years, anybody who's taught college football, that you're going to have the Super Conference era. Folks, we're there. We're there. The Big Ten and the SEC are already super conferences. And the only other question is, does the ACC exist in 5 years? The Big 12, even with all the rating they've already done and the demise of the Pac-10, the Pac-12, the Pac-14.
I think for the good of the game, which I know he's fighting against that right
now.
Who's done more good of the game? It's like I really do think we're going to get to a point where it will be a 16-team playoff. I think it's going to be 5-5, Big Ten, SEC. And then I think the rest of you can vie for the other spots. And really, it's five other spots, because they're going to give the 11th spot, wherever that falls, to Notre Dame. So it becomes five amongst two other conferences, and you guys could share them. If it's 3-2 one year or 2-3 the next year, fine, whatever. And I think that that's as equitable as possible. And I still think even then, Greg Sankey and I keep wanting to say Kevin Warren. Who the hell is it? Who's the new Big Ten commissioner? Who's the Big Ten? Either way,
God.
Sankey and Tony Petitti. Yeah. They will fight.
Keep thinking of the Garden Centers.
They will fight to make it 12 and 6 each, and whatever they can do. Because I think the pressure would be on. I know that Notre Dame has agreements in place and things like that, but I think that they would want to pressure them as much as they can into getting them into one of those conferences. But Notre Dame has it what they want. You know, the thing about the college football playoff is it's the same way as I look at college football in general. Is I could say, oh, that's bad for the sport, that's bad for the sport. There's been so many things that I've seen as bad for the sport.
And we still watch them.
And
are
they
massive.
Still kick off at noon, mm-hmm. And 3:30 and 7 o'clock, no. And we still watch them.
Noon. They only kick off at noon now.
Well, one team in particular kicks off at noon, and we still watch them. And I think that that's what they care about. I think that eventually there will be a funneling. Frankly, I look forward to the day. I hate saying this, that some of the schools return to their D1AA roots.
Yeah.
Especially one of my own. I think that we're going to have that day because I wonder how long is this profitable for you as a football program? Like they've made the price now, isn't it $5 or $6 million? It's something ridiculous now to jump in, and that's a big investment for some of these schools when they only have a $27 million altogether budget
for everything.
Yeah. So when you're talking about a big buy-in for 1 year, that's a big jump to go from FCS to FBS because they want to discourage it. They don't want any more joining their club. And so you have to be really all in to do so. And I think that some of the schools, you know, again, I've mentioned this to you many times. North Dakota State, if people think of North Dakota State, they think of football dominance. It's fun. It's interesting. What is North Dakota State in the Mountain West? You know, what Georgia, you go back and you look up Georgia Southern and the history they've had in 1AA and how good they were. What are they now in QSER, Sunbelt, or wherever they're at right now? Exactly. And I wonder how much that's going to be worth to some of these chancellors moving forward.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.